Okay, let me know. All right, and we are here with you. Let me get this adjusted. The station's got some new equipment here. And this is Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. And we're coming to you again on a somewhat rainy Sunday night. We're glad to be with you. We're going to be talking about, I'll get right into it here in just a second. We're going to have Connor open this thing up. Mr. William Bud Carman is with us. And we're going to be talking about property values. And we're going to get a whole lot deeper into it than just that. Okay? And he is here. And thank you both. Thank you for doing this while I'm thinking about it.
You're welcome.
You are more than welcome. You're from Franklin, Tennessee.
I live in Franklin, Tennessee, just west of the town square.
Right. And practicing law, what?
I've been practicing law since 1987. So I started late in life. I was 49 years old when I passed the bar.
All right.
So. But and that was in 1987.
Okay. We're going to get into this thing. And our good friend, friend of this broadcast, you all know him. He is our Rutherford County Property Assessor, Rob Mitchell. And he will be probably calling in. And this is a very serious situation, folks, that I want you to take heed of. That William Bud Carman, and we're going to call him Bud. If you don't mind,
I appreciate it. Thank you. Makes me feel 27.
Okay. Both of us. And we're going to do that. But I'll tell you what, we're going to get this thing started, Connor, if we can, and give Bud maximum yield of our time. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I'm still a private investigator for now. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer. On your good neighbor station, News Radio, WGNS.
A little rock and roll to kick you off tonight, and this is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm your host, Ed Raymer. This show is produced at the studios of WGNS AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you can reach us tonight, you can reach Mr. Carman with your questions and your comments at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. And now you can also text us a message to that number. And our producer, Connor, is on the board tonight, as usual, always doing a good job. And he'll be glad to read it over the air. Or he'll give it to me or Mr. Bud. And we'll be glad to read it for you. Now, how do you listen to us? How do you see us? Okay. Of course, some of you that are younger, if you're in your automobile, you know, if you go out in your automobile, there's a rectangular shaped device in the dash that is called a radio. And if you press a few buttons, you might be able to pull something up. And when it says 1450 AM or 100.5 or 101.9 FM, you can hear us. And it's an amazing thing if you want to listen to it. Also, you can watch us live on YouTube at News Radio WGNS. We're on there right now. You can see both me and Mr. Bud. And you can catch us there. We're on Facebook Live. My wife just listens on Alexa. But I know you said you've been with your wife quite a few years, and my wife's been with me 43 years. She just listens. She doesn't want to see any more of me than she than she has to. And she listens on Alexa, Stitcher, all the other things. Connor can tell you. But you can find us if you want to. So anyway, we're glad you're here, and we are glad Brother Bud is here. Now, Bud, we are here to talk about something that is very serious for a lot of people.
Yeah, very serious. Yes, you're right.
Now, our property assessor, Rob Mitchell, has taken a whole lot of heat here lately. Well, really over the last year or two, okay? You have a call for us?
Yes, Jeff.
Okay. Hello, caller. I'm going to put you on right now. Go ahead, please.
How's it going, Mr. Raymer?
Well, hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good. I just want to say two things happened in American history today. 250 years ago today, what did Patrick Henry say?
Okay. What did he say? Give me liberty. Give me liberty
or give me death.
Okay.
That's Virginia Convention, 1775. Okay. 250 years ago today. And also, happy birthday to the ACA, Obamacare. It's a teenager, 15 years old.
Oh, okay. Good.
It's one year away from getting his driver's license. It'll be
okay.
It'll be going down the road. It'll be, I don't know about the car insurance. They might have to, that mile bid might be a little high, but he'll be able to ride down the road. Obama signed the law 15 years ago today.
Well, I can tell you this. We're gonna have one heck of a ball game next week because Tennessee and Kentucky are going to be playing.
Oh,
and
yes,
I'm sure I'll be talking to you through the week.
Oh, I know, and everybody in both states is going to be having a nervous breakdown before it's over with.
They're going to have more advertising dollars come in on that game than you can shake a stick at.
They're already nervous, so I know that's the...
Jeff.
But I'll tell you something, one final thing, Edwin Lee, Jesus is my savior, but Pope's my coach. I've got hope.
Pope's your coach.
Real hope. Okay. Have a good week. See y'all, guys.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it. Jeff Neal, supporter of this broadcast. We thank you. And I was mentioning our county property assessor, Rob Mitchell. Good man. Has done a great job for Rutherford County. What is this deal that's going on? And, Bud, I'm going to let you take this and run with it, if you will.
I'd be glad to.
Okay.
Please, if you have a question at any point, I'd appreciate you interrupting me. I first learned of the conflict that had arisen in Rutherford County about property assessments from watching a newscast came out of Nashville that the Rutherford County assessor was failing to do his job according to state law.
Sure.
Then I saw some additional publicity that came out in a newspaper that had been originating out of the state offices, it appeared. I've known Rob for quite a bit of time. Rob's been working as an assessor of property for several years. He doesn't go back as far as I go back, but I knew of some of the issues. And I called Rob up and I said, Rob, I don't like what I'm hearing. Can I come over and talk to you? And then Rob briefed me on what was going on. In a nutshell, the major complaint against Rob as the assessor of property is that he has classified certain residential properties as residential when they are rented. And this rental issue has turned into be the major point of contention between the assessor's office here in Rutherford County,
right,
and the state of Tennessee, particularly the Division of Property Assessments, which is an arm of the state controller.
Okay.
Now, until 2022, when Mr. Jason Mumpire was elected by the legislature as the controller, until that point in time, this residential property, rental property issue was never surfaced. It had never surfaced. I never heard of it.
Sure.
In 1972, property was classified for assessment purposes under what was then called, the old timers will have to remember this, it was called Question 3. And that question was, shall residential or all property, real property, shall real property be classified according to use? And the voters in the state of Tennessee said yes. And so in 1972, property was classified. And it didn't matter on residential property whether it was owner-occupied or whether it was owned but rented out. If it was used for dwelling purposes for over 50 years, these properties have been classified as residential.
Now, will you tell people where you were in 1972?
What were you doing in 1972? In 1972, I had been employed by the controller, who was Mr. William R. Snodgrass.
Correct.
And I say this without fear of contradiction. Likely the most highly respected state official ever who has served. He, regardless of politics, all of the legislative sessions never questioned that. They reelected Mr. William R. Snodgrass just time after time after time, every 2 years.
Right.
So I was employed.
And you worked under him.
I worked directly under him. I was first
right.
employed with the Division of Property Assessments in 1968.
Okay. Right.
Then I was named as director of the Division of Property Assessments somewhere in the early 70s, mid-70s. I served as director of the Division of Property Assessments, leaving there in 1987 when I passed the bar.
Now, I have you say all that to say this. You know whereof you speak.
I would like to represent that I know property assessments about as well as anybody in the state of Tennessee, because I've been on every side of it, upside, downside, each side. I know every issue that can be raised about the assessment of property. I'm a qualified assessment administrator and have served as president of the International Association of Assessing Officers. Don't want to sit here and toot my horn, but I've been around a long time.
Right. So what we're getting at, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to let Mr. Carman explain this to you. If you move, well, Bud, you do it. You had a house, you move out, you go buy another house, and you want to rent the house, you're going to give it to other people.
That's a good way to introduce it. You know, the Constitution and statutory law uses the same words, and this is the tricky wicket. In fact, I will give anybody who disagrees with me slack to say, if that's the way you see it, I'm not going to fuss on you. I just think that the position that I will state tonight is the correct interpretation of state law, but that's my legal opinion. And you may find another lawyer who's going to say right opposite. But I will say this, that residential property, as stated in both the Constitution, Article 2, Section 28, and Tennessee Code Annotated 67-5-501, Paragraph 11, they both say the same thing, that residential property containing two or more rental units is classified as industrial and commercial, and I might add, just like a shopping center.
Right.
But let me tell you how to address that in your own thinking. If you have a residential property, now that one, have you ever heard of the word, or this just the letter A making a whole lot of difference? Listen to this. A residential property containing not more than one rental unit. Okay. That's my house.
But your
house, live in a single family detached residential property that is used for dwelling purposes, and you can't put but one family in there for two reasons. First reason is it won't fit. We don't have a one kitchen. And the second reason is it's zoned for one family.
For one family. Yes,
now then, here's the difference in the interpretation of state law. My firm opinion is that I don't care who owns my house. I don't care whether they occupy it as an owner. I don't care whether they rent it out. My house is residential, and it should be classified as residential, and it should be assessed at 25%, but that's not what the state controller says.
Okay.
Here's what he says.
All right.
That if you got a subdivision, and there's a lot of ways to say this, but you see, a subdivision is residential property.
Right.
A condominium complex is a residential property.
That it is.
If it's used for dwellings.
Sure.
So the state controller is saying this by and through his director of the Division of Property Assessments, and this is the very issue that arose here in Rutherford County. Residential property containing two or more rental units can be a subdivision with two houses owned by the same person and rented, where income is being produced and paid to the owner. It becomes an income-producing property the same as income from a shopping center, income from a major it has a commercial appearance to, may I say this affectionately, revenue-hungry local government officials get not what they need, but what they can get.
Sure.
It's two different concepts there.
Or what they want.
If you increase the tax burden on a residential rental property, this is going to, quote, quote, generate more revenue to the local government jurisdiction? No, it will not. There's some nuances in this that would require some explanation, but basically now you take the revenue needs of a local government and you divide it by the tax base, the total assessed value, and you get the tax rate. That's the way it works.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter whether you juggle the classifications around all over the place, but there is a perception on the part of, I don't know how far this goes. I don't know who all is convinced that residential property that is used for as a rental property should be classified as commercial. I don't know how far this goes. I would respectfully say I consider it foolish. Okay. It is a notion that Mr. Snodgrass would have never imagined. I never imagined it. For 50 years, have I never imagined it? And yet, for the last 3 years, there are serious people, I mean some people I respect, that believe that when a residential property becomes a rental property, it has become an income-producing property, and therefore it is commercial. Industrial and commercial is the correct terminology. The issue, though, that takes this to the next dimension is because the present statutory law is ambiguous. It's unclear because it does not answer all of the questions that need to be asked. But because the statute 67.5-501, paragraph 11, is ambiguous, you have different people reading it different ways. But the controller reads it only one way. And may I say this respectfully, both to you, Mr. Ed,
yes,
and to Mr. Mumpower, my way or the highway, right? When two people can see the same writing two different ways, and you come into the assessor's office and accuse him of willfully failing to follow state law, sir, because he didn't do it your way, how many people you want me to line up at your door and tell you that you're full of life?
We're going to go to our first break.
We better slow down a little bit. Thank you.
Connor, we're going to go to our first break, and we're at 20 minutes after the hour, and we are here with Mr. William Bud Carman. He's trying to explain to you something that's very important. Now, I know this is boring stuff, okay? Nobody's been killed, and there haven't been any, you know, love affairs or anything like that. Maybe if there were, we'd have more people calling in. But we're going to go to our first break. We'll be back after this. I think Rob Mitchell's going to join us. We're going to see why he's such a bad guy. And I've wondered that for years now. And we're going to hopefully get to the bottom of this thing. Connor, take us to the first break. But, you know, you're listening to the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm Ed Raymer, back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We are back. And I think we have a caller on the line.
Yes.
We do?
It's the bad guy.
It's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Hello. We got a caller on the line. Hello?
Hey, this is Rob Mitchell, the bad guy.
Rob, how much money do you need? Are you in jail again or what? What did they arrest you for this time?
I don't know. You said I was going to call in and tell everybody why I was such a bad guy, so I figured I better pick up and call now.
Well, I've got an attorney here that can help you out. And how are you, brother Rob?
Doing well. Thank you for having Bud Carmen on. He is understating his credentials. He is a CAE. He's a past president of the International Association of Assessing Officers. He is the former director of the Division of Property Assessments, built and laid the foundation for what the Division of Property Assessments is supposed to be. And he's also the executive director of TINPAC, which is the Tennessee Professional Assessors Coalition, which is the only legitimate association for assessors in the state. So he is very credentialed, very knowledgeable, and he's a straight shooter.
Oh, yes, he is. There's no doubt about that. We've had a nice visit before we went on the air. And let me ask you, Rob, the entire reason, and folks, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? The reason we're here tonight is I called Rob, and this thing has been going on. What's been going on, Rob? More than a year now?
Yeah, it's been going on more than a year.
More than a year. What? Bud's got his headphones on now. He can hear. Talk to him. And y'all talk this out. What's going on, Bud?
Rob, I was at a point when you came on where we were talking about the different views as to classification of residential property, whether it's owner occupied or whether it is rented, that the use of the property either way is that it's used for dwelling purposes. Now, I want to go ahead, though, and clarify to the listening audience that the issues that were brought before you were not simply limited to that one area of the classification of property. But I believe that your statistics that you gave me, and I want you to verify this, are that of all of the changes that have been made based upon the directions from State Controller's Office, as I understand it, you said 80% of the assessed value changes that showed up on assessment change notices were related to the classification issue, and I wish you would verify that, and then I want to address it further.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So 80% of the issues in Rutherford County, you see, then, turn on an issue of the clarity of state law. If 67, TCA 67-5-50111, if that statute is ambiguous, room for at least two different opinions. And then here you come, a state auditor who comes in and says, you do it one way. You classify these properties as commercial because they have become income-producing property. Am I correct, Rob, that you're simply saying that that's not fair? I had them classified as residential property because I believe that was correct under the law. And 80% of the problems down here now are related to that difference of opinion in the reading of the statute. Isn't that the position you're taking, which is that it's unfair that you would be accused of willfully violating your oath of office in a matter where the statute is ambiguous?
That is absolutely correct. In fact, there are other counties, and I've presented examples to the Division of Property Assessment showing where other counties are doing exactly as we are doing. And the response that I received back from them is, we are not talking about other counties. We are talking about Rutherford County.
Right.
Now, they're charged with establishing uniformity across the state. And yet they are allowing an ununiform practice to exist. I don't mind doing what everyone else is doing. You tell me exactly. I may disagree with it. But if you say this is what you absolutely have to do, I will do it. But to hold Rutherford County to a different standard simply for the benefit of bureaucrats who are concerned with raising revenue rather than applying equity and fairness to the tax administration is wrong. It's immoral and it's reprehensible.
Rob, let me interrupt to say, I think I told you following my interview with the director of the present director of the Division of Property Assessments, when I raised that issue of how many counties in the state are classifying residential property as commercial because they are producing residential rental income, the answer was, we don't know. I raised a point of order as to that, and I said, you don't know. Don't you think you should know? Because you're calling out the assessor in Rutherford County and saying that he's doing it wrong. And my response was this, and I think it's classic. Just because somebody else may be doing it wrong, it does not justify Mr. Mitchell for doing it wrong. And I did not reply to that. I sat there and I shook my head because this is the most foolish response I've ever heard in my life, that Rutherford County assessor would be called out for classifying residential rental property as residential as he believes it should be done under the law and say you don't know what anybody else is doing. Well, why don't you know what somebody else is doing? I mean, there comes a point in time where fair is fair. People need to be treated fairly under the law. And it became apparent to me that they've chosen you as the guinea pig to try to prove that residential rental property should, under present law, be classified as commercial. But nevertheless, the point's made that there's room for more than one opinion, and the determination by the State Board of Equalization, which has not been noted, but I will note it at this point, the State Board of Equalization now took under consideration the recommendation of the Division of Property Assessments, who serves under the supervision of the controller, who sits on the State Board of Equalization. And so the State Board of Equalization now, including the controller, voted to uphold the determination of the director of the Division of Property Assessments that you are in non-compliance. That decision by the State Board of Equalization was considered by the State Board facing a motion which we made to disqualify or to request that the controller take himself out of the picture, that he would say that I should not sit here because of a conflict of interest. That was not addressed by the State Board of Equalization. The controller did not take him out. Recuse himself is the really good legal term that would be used. So he sat there and he voted to sanction you, just like everybody else did, without discussion. That decision by the State Board of Equalization is subject to review in Chancery Court, and I am ready. Leaving the classification issue, at least for a moment, unless Mr. Ed wants a clarification of a point, I want to say this about the other issues that were brought up in discussing with you. For example, the determination by the State Controller's Office seems to be, and I don't want to say this as a 100% matter of fact, but it seems to be that a certificate of occupancy issued by the Codes Department is, in and of itself, prima facie evidence of completion of construction where taxes should be prorated on new construction for the remaining months in the year. The certificate of occupancy, which I have talked with the codes people in both Rutherford County and Williamson County, both say the same thing. This is a certificate of that a property can be legally occupied. It is not, they tell me, it is absolutely not a certificate that the property is suitable for occupancy. And let's see, let me ask my chauffeur. He's a pretty smart guy. Let's see, I believe that was 67-5-603, paragraph A4. Listen, if you want a good chauffeur that knows the law, this is Mr. Ben Baggett. He knows 67-5-603, and I'm serious about this. Now, sure. A4 okay. says that you prorate on the date the property is suitable for occupancy. Hey, we got an auditor by any chance on the line, or maybe somebody who will listen to this. Let me ask that auditor a question. If the date of the certificate of occupancy is, for example, March 1st of 2025, and you don't show up to check that property until July the 1st of 2025, how do you know the date the property was suitable for occupancy? How could you possibly know that? You say, well, I got a date on a certificate of occupancy by the Planning Commission. Go over there and ask them. They will tell you this. That certificate shows that it can be legally occupied, but it has nothing to do with whether it's suitable for occupancy.
Suitable for habitation.
What mm-hmm. Well, occupancy is the word in the law.
Occupancy. Okay,
what would make a property have a certificate of occupancy by the codes director, but not be suitable for occupancy? How about the floors are not in? You know, they keep those subfloors mm-hmm. down so that the workmen who traipse across the floors are not going to mess up the real floors.
Sure.
So quite often, when you get a CO, they call it, the property is legally ready for occupancy, but it's not suitable. How can you tell when the property is suitable for occupancy? Well, first of all, Mr. Auditor, you don't know because you weren't there. You're looking at it some months later and guessing that the date on the CO is the date it was ready for. That's not true, sir. It is not. Now, Mr. Mitchell, Mr. Rob Mitchell's on the line. He will verify that his plan is this. All properties are reviewed. And so they are reviewed on a regular schedule. And if it's determined by the review appraiser that the property is suitable for occupancy, then it's certified on that date. Not the date the CO was issued, but on the date of the determination by the review appraiser. It is a standard practice, and it was a standard practice in 1975, I know, because I was either assistant director at that time or director, and this is the way we put it. You inspect the property, and if it is suitable for occupancy, you prorate it as of that date. And here we have again. you got a difference of opinion on exactly how the date ought to be determined, two reasonable people can come up with two different answers. And when I say that, I'm assuming that the auditor is reasonable. And if I go out there and I say, well, you know, it's not suitable. Not yet. I'll come back. So I come back and I put the date down as the one I determine it's suitable for occupancy. I'm familiar with the law reads, too. I know all about this substantially complete. But the plan by the assessor is reasonable. His plan should have been accepted just because he is a professional. He's the one charged with determining the date for proration. Sir, your auditor is not. The auditor's an auditor. He knows how to say 2 plus 2 equals 4, but he does not know how to make a professional judgment. That's not his business. The assessor makes professional judgments. He makes them as to classification. He makes them as to the date the property ought to be prorated for assessment purposes, and also as to the schedule for reviewing errors in listings, which occur naturally. Sir, may I repeat this? They occur naturally in mass appraisal programs. Can you imagine trying to appraise 133,000 properties every year? That's the task that the assessor in Rutherford County has. And what we've had is an invasion of state auditors. They're not state appraisers. They're not state review appraisers. They do not use professional judgments. They take a date on a CO and say that's when the property was completed. No, no, no. And so with that, Mr. Ed, I'll slow down and see if you have a question.
I have this. Rob, are you still there? I hope you are.
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm loving it.
Okay. No, and I want to go through this, and I'm going to make this a little more local. Okay, bud?
Go ahead.
All right. Here's a listing of county offices. I'm not going to list them all to you. This was sent out, well, let me say this. Rob Mitchell sent me this as of January 5th this year. His name is not on it. I've got everybody. I've got Joe Carr, Ted Beatty, Mike Fitzhugh, he's our sheriff, of course, Lisa Crow, the whole bunch. But Rob Mitchell's not. Now, let's go on down here. Rob sent me the other day, Friday. This is a letter, and I'm going to read it as it is written. This is not me or our guest, okay? I want you to get a load of what this man's been dealing with. Now, this letter was mailed from Nashville to Mr. Shannon Cantrell. He's the DeKalb County Assessor over in Shelbyville. And I want you to listen to this.
Smithville. He's in Smithville.
Smithville. I'm sorry. Smithville. Thank you.
He's not the only assessor that received this letter, by the way.
Okay. On Tuesday, March 4, the State Board of Equalization, in a unanimous vote, found Rutherford County Assessor of Property, Mr. Rob Mitchell, was in noncompliance with state law. Mr. Mitchell has broken the law and the trust of every property owner in Rutherford County and quite possibly the entire state. Rather than correct the actions in his office, he continually been on radio talk shows within written articles for news publications and magazines. His complete late of acknowledgement of his actions should be more than troublesome to citizens, property owners, and voters. And whoever wrote this, you need to get some help in writing, okay? I'll just put it that way. Thank you. Now, Rob, your response, please, sir.
Well, it's hurtful. It's hurtful to me. It's hurtful to my family. It's hurtful to the office. But we had individuals recruited by the county mayor.
Okay.
And I believe recruited and assisted by the county lobbyist to create a situation that would allow the state the opportunity to come in and do what they're doing now. I said it last year that this was all political. I knew it was all political, and it is all political. We have conducted three stellar reappraisals. The state has found nothing at fault with anything until the recent mayor took office.
Right. Anything else?
Let me add one thing to this, if I can.
I will say that we've been understaffed.
Sure.
I will say we've been understaffed.
I know you have.
We have fewer people now than we did in 2010.
Sure.
Repeatedly, I've gone to the county commission and requested additional funding to hire additional people. The county mayor and the county commission has refused every year. So what happens is we have a situation where we're working as fast as we can in the fastest growing county in the state. We are severely understaffed, and the county refuses to support us. I requested assistance of any kind from the state board and from the Division of Property Assessments, and the response was, we believe that this is a local matter, and we will do nothing.
Okay.
So here we are.
Let me interject this. It seems clear to me that there's many issues as are out there, that there's a strong argument that the system in some respects is broken. I'll give you an example of that. The assessor's office is an office that needs to be adequately funded in order to do the professional job that's set out by law. You got to have that. That's what Rob was just talking about. Well, that determination as to whether the office is adequately funded under present law is not addressed anywhere except in the number of deputies that assessor can have. It does not address that you need X number of people at the top level of skills, which would be a manager capable of pulling off a sophisticated job of appraising 130,000 properties every year. You need so many intermediate employees. You need so many clerical employees. No matter what study you would do to say this is a staffing plan for the assessor's office, there is no provision in state government now to address that. You can't file an appeal. At least there's no provision for it in state law. There needs to be a major revision of how budgets are approved. I mean, the assessor should be able to give his budget to an administrative judge that's not conflicted. He don't work under somebody who audits the assessor.
Right.
No, there needs to be independence. The whole idea of due process is that if you're accused of wrongdoing, you get to be heard by an independent judge. Right. There needs to be a tribunal that's not conflicted. Here's what the controller does. He sends people down to give guidelines, number one. Then he comes down and he audits you to see whether you've complied with the guidelines. If he thinks you failed to provide with the guidelines, then he threatens you with either removal from office or noncompliance. In this case, it was noncompliance that he took to the State Board of Equalization. Then he sits there not only as the investigator and the prosecutor, he's the judge. So he sits there and he votes to find, and you look around at the people who serve very closely with him. He's a constitutional officer. You have two other constitutional officers on there. And I'll say this, since 1968, when I started working with the state controller's office, I've never seen a split decision. 100% of the time, the constitutional officers vote the same way. Everybody right. else just sort of comes along. Mm-hmm. Now then, the whole system needs to be addressed, and that is going to be an issue before the chancellor. Subject to the chancellor's discretion, the entire area of noncompliance will be addressed, including budgets and how do you get funded and what is the engagement protocol. This is the main thing. When an auditor is going to come into the assessor's office, what is the protocol? Well, there is a provision in state law, TCA, let's see, Rob, I believe that's 675305. Say yes. Yeah, okay. 675305. And here's what it says. You're going to have a certain procedure to be followed that determination is made by the director of the division, the assessor is not in compliance. So I'll say, what do you do next? Well, it doesn't say exactly what you do next. It does not even provide for a due process hearing at the first level. And there never has been due process for Mr. Mitchell. He'll tell you that.
Right.
Due process is where you lay it out squarely and firmly. This is where you have failed. You give him an opportunity to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
This is due process. It's the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And, sir, Mr. Mumpower, I don't believe you've ever read it. You need to go back and read it. Due process, it is fundamental fairness is what it is. And this accusation against my client, Mr. Rob Mitchell, is so unfair that I look forward to presenting this to the independent tribunal who's going to make a decision on what I'm saying. I think that you've been treated unfairly. There's room for more than one professional judgment in some of these matters. The appraisal of property is not 2 + 2 = 4. It requires professional judgments.
Sure.
You have great skills in that, Mr. Mitchell, and you have exercised those skills as you saw fit under law, and you've been treated unfairly, and I am very confident we're going to show that at the final hearing of this matter.
Do you know when this will be?
I do not know this fee. We have a statutory period of time to file a petition for review. The petition is ready. It is well written, if I may say that, because I had help on the writing. It's just a brilliant piece of work. We'll see what we see. What Chancellor says is whether it's brilliant. We'll see that. But
true.
Now we're not. I tell you what, whoever hears this will not be conflicted. He's going to be independent, and I'll just trust the judgment of the Chancellor, and it will be right here in Rutherford County. I wish we could be somewhere like Washington County and get out of this place where we've had so
true.
Much negative
right.
publicity.
Yes,
but
I understand.
State law doesn't allow that. It's got to be either in Davidson County or the county where the action arose.
Sure.
But, Rob, you've been treated unfairly. I welcome the opportunity to say this. Mr. Ed's been kind to give me the freedom to say what I thought, and I've said that. We got other issues that are significant, not the least of which is conflicts in the way that publicity has been handled. But I don't know which avenue we ought to take on that. I will say this, that TCA... the Tennessee Code needs to be amended, and we've got a bill that addresses that, House Bill 319. House Bill 319, there has been an organized objection to that bill. It right now has been referred for a summer study by the House Cities and Counties Subcommittee. I don't know what's going to happen to that bill, but it clarifies the definition of residential property so that this classification issue would never arise again. I like the bill. It does a great job. But the deception part of the lobby against this is interesting. The fiscal note, if you look at it online, it shows a fiscal note of some 70+ million dollars.
$71 million. Yes, sir.
What is not said is this, that the sponsor of the bill, which is a local state representative, a fine fellow, Mr. Tim Rudd.
Representative Tim Rudd
said immediately, we will include a provision for a certified tax rate where local governments will realize no less revenue than they did preceding passage of the bill. It's not a revenue bill at all. And yet still, you got this lobbyist, and this lobbyist is a guy who represents counties. He represents Rutherford County and
Will Denami.
That's Will Denami. Let me tell you about Mr. Denami. He knows that this bill can be made revenue neutral with the inclusion of a certified tax rate provision. He knows that, and yet he does not tell you that. I had a conversation this very day with a Williamson County commissioner. I live in Williamson County. And he told me, he said, but Bud, how are we going to make this work with a fiscal note of $71 million? I said, wait, just a minute. That is simply not the case. The certified tax rate will take care. He knew nothing of that. And yet, you see, I mean, Will Denami is the lobbyist for Williamson County. He's also the lobbyist for Rutherford County.
And many other counties.
And he's also the lobbyist for the assessors who have been naive in the matter. Gentlemen, ladies, if you're out there and you heard me call you naive, that's not an insult. I promise you, you had no business whatsoever responding to the revenue-hungry local officials and letting them put you in the forefront of the battle. This is not your call. You have a professional job to do to appraise property, classified as you see it under law. But to initiate a change in tax policy, this is not the job of the assessor. But Mr. Rob Mitchell, in addition to being my friend, is a dedicated assessor of property who has chosen to do the right thing, and it has cost him bitterly just that he's had to defend allegations which are simply not true. He has not willfully made any decision whatsoever that would violate his duties under state law.
Not that I can see. Rob, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Your response, sir, or any comment, any further comment? We've got about 6 minutes left. Please go ahead.
Well, I'm just, you know, originally, this has been a long time coming. The push has been going on for about the last 5 or 6 years to convince assessors that it's appropriate to assess single-family residential properties as commercial.
Right.
I made the suggestion. I met with one of my representatives, Charlie Baum, and with Will Denami. And I suggested, if this is true, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but assessors want clarity. If you want assessors to pick up rental homes as commercial property, simply define residential property as owner-occupied. If it's not occupied by the owner, then we'll determine that it's that way. And Representative Baum says, well, that sounds reasonable. And the lobbyist said, no, we don't want to do that.
Let me interject this, Rob. Let me interject this. The reason they wouldn't go that way is they know the legislature will not approve it. I sat and listened to some folks discuss it and said, no way is the legislature going to pass a bill that classifies residential property as commercial under any circumstances. But because the statute, the legislation that's been introduced, House Bill 319, if it does not pass, the courts are going to decide that. Let me say this about the classification of residential property. This is not the only issue that was raised with the Rutherford County Assessor, but I won't say this, time permitting, anytime, anywhere, I will be glad to explain from my perspective as counsel the answer to every single allegation against Mr. Mitchell. He has not violated the law, and certainly has not willfully violated anything at all. What we're trying to do is get out from under this really unlawful allegation of non-compliance so that we can move on. It's taken an awful lot of time to even deal with the state auditors. But I just want to say this, that Rob has not been treated fairly. I say that with the best of intentions, to be honest and truthful and fair in all respects. He's not been given due process. And the arguments in Chancery, we have no choice except because, you know, I can't even get the council. I cannot get counsel for the Division of Property Assessments to sit down and discuss the matters with me. They won't even talk to me. And you say, why? They said, if I have questions, I can put them in writing. No, I don't have questions. Every civil case I've been involved in since I've passed the bar in 1987, I've been able to talk to the lawyer on the other side, quote, quote. And I'd say my percentages are between 85 and 90% that we've worked things out to where we did not have litigation. It doesn't look like we're going to work anything out.
Very good. I want to thank you, Rob. We've got about 30 seconds, a minute left. Anything else for right now?
Right now, I just say I appreciate everybody's faith in me. I appreciate that, you know, I've been reelected 4 times to serve the people of Rutherford County.
That you have.
I would never and have not, I have not and would not violate state law. And I never intend to. My simple goal is to make sure that the people are treated fairly, they get the information they need, and in mass appraisal, you're going to have things that are mistakes. And
sure.
Our policy always has been and always will be, if we were wrong, we will make it right. That's all anyone can do.
That's exactly right. Rob Mitchell, your Rutherford County property assessor. Rob, thank you so much. And thank you for sending
thank
Bud
you.
My
I sure
way.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Bud.
Thank you.
We want to thank you tonight. We're going to go out with some advertising from our wonderful sponsors. To the sponsors, thank you. Mr. Bud Carman, thank you so much, sir. We appreciate
you. You're welcome.
You.
Thank you. Anytime.
No, come back and see us anytime.
Thank you.
And bring your driver with you. And
yes, he knows the way home. That's why I brought it.
Connor, thank you on the board. And I'll tell you what, we're going to go out of here with some music. And, folks, I'll tell you what, for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show, I'm Ed Raymer. Until next Sunday at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.